Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 127. As always, this podcast is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and buy your stuff there. It helps the podcast out. It helps us buy the equipment to run the podcast and do our thing. So if you can, help us out in that way. With us today, as always, Bob. What's up, Bob?
What's going on, man? It's Monday.
Monday. Busy weekend.
Yes. Yeah. You were in North Carolina, South Carolina?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. So yeah, you had a little bit better weather than being in Michigan, I guess.
I would say significantly better than being in Michigan.
Yeah. You know what's crazy, though?
Like 18 inches here.
Over the weekend, we had like a little heat wave here. It was like 40 degrees.
Did you?
And it was raining, not snowing. It was weird.
Huh. So yeah, that didn't happen here.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Monday started a new week, and got a lot of stuff done last week, and we'll have a lot of stuff this week as well. So
nice.
Let's just jump into these reviews here.
Definitely.
So to start off, you took a look at the Corsair H115i Pro Liquid CPU Cooler, and if that, of course, is part of their new... Is this like their new Pro Series? Is that what they're calling these?
It's just the two right now.
Yeah.
So... it's probably a good question to ask them.
Yeah.
we haven't seen or heard.
Because yeah, it's not like another... I mean, obviously things have changed.
It's a new pump design. That's the thing that's really shared between... because I previously did the 360 version.
Yes.
The H150i Pro. And then the only difference really between the two is the radiator size in this. So it is, yeah, it's a new pump design, which is the smaller... And it seems to be more efficient and do just a little better than the previous design, and it looks better as well. So it could be that. I mean, if we check out their website, it's all still.
Yeah, because they're all kind of listed the same. I don't know if these are just called the Pro versions, because they obviously have the Pro extension on them.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously we got RGB with these.
Yeah. RGB, new pump design. Are the fans new or no?
No.
Okay,
it's
same
the
fans.
ML series that they've had on everything. Gotcha. So,
gotcha.
I don't know. Other than the different pump design, that seems to be the thing that differentiates between them.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, it is a new Asetek pump, right? So that could be what they're going, essentially what they're going for with that.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Gotcha. So this is the 280 millimeter version, right?
280 millimeter version, 240 millimeter fans, obviously. Very similar if you read or listened to the podcast when I talked about the H150i Pro. All around, it's basically identical until you get to performance. This one does not perform quite as well. It was still the fifth ranked of all time. So, I mean, that's still really good.
Yes.
Sure. But not... because the H150i, that was like straight to the top. That performed quite a bit better than anything that we've had through here. So it was basically pretty close to on par with some like older models. The previous 280 millimeter version is very similar to that. And right around the performance of the Kraken X62. So
nice.
Kind of right where it should be. The price is $30 cheaper. Then it's $30 cheaper than the H150i Pro. So if you're looking to save a little bit of money, or perhaps you don't have room for a 360 millimeter radiator, this could be the cooler for you.
Nice. And the software allows you to change the RGB color, I'm assuming.
Yeah. It has the full functionality through Corsair Link for speeds, color change. Color change isn't like hugely significant with this. It has the different modes and stuff, but I found that they didn't really impact the display very strongly. But it has it. And as we mentioned before, it's likely that they're going to be upgrading this with RGB fans, or maybe you would do that. And that would really be the thing that kind of sets this off. And it would make it would really add a little bit more to the pump lighting as is. Because right now it's pretty diffuse and it doesn't do a whole lot to light up your case at all.
Yeah, it's kind of like Corsair hasn't gone for that super flashy pump top that a couple other companies have done, and obviously NZXT being the main one there. So maybe with, you know, if they do a version with RGB fans, they might redesign that pump top to something kind of crazy, so it's all RGB'd out, but we'll just have to see.
Yeah.
But I think it's a nice upgrade. I think that, you know, while the cosmetic updates aren't really anything that great, having a better pump that's more efficient and smaller. And did you say it's easier to mount as well?
It's basically the same mounting system that they've always had, like for years, actually. From Asetek, but they changed the way that you change out the plates, the different brackets for the AMD or Intel sockets, and now it's just a simple twist and lock mechanism, and that's significantly easier than other brands' versions of that.
Nice.
So that's really, really nice. It's not a hard core to install as is, so.
Nice. Very, very nice.
Three or four steps and you're basically done.
And it's one...
it is worth mentioning that it was extremely quiet. It's probably the quietest cooler that we AIO that we've reviewed. It's basically not there when it's running. So,
well, that's important to a lot of people.
Yeah, it kind of might explain why it didn't get the jump in performance that the H150i had, just because the fans are like they top out at 1200 RPM, isn't high at all, and they're. They're 140s. They don't have a whole lot of static pressure. They have decent. They move decent CFMs, but not anything significant.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that's kind of the edge that this one's missing. And it's $139.99.
Nice. So I think being quiet is very important to a lot of people.
Yeah.
We've seen in the past certain AIOs that sound like. You know, if you take them out of their normal mode and maybe go into a performance mode, they sound like they're going to take off. And of course, that's never good as well. So I think a good balance, I think, based on the performance, does have decent, you know, pretty good cooling for most people. And that it's quiet, that, you know, that makes a big difference, especially like, you know, we're recording a podcast here. I don't want my computer to sound like a machine in the background. You know what I mean?
Nope, totally.
So, yeah, definitely. So definitely check out that review. And then Ryan took a look at some RGB fans from Riven, and it's their Kirin. And these are actually pretty interesting, just for the fact that these do not come with a controller. They're sold as single fans, and they don't have any software or anything like that. So basically, these are your typical, you know, 120, 140 millimeter fans, RGB, and the RGB, the illumination comes from the inner circle. So there's LEDs mounted in the inside, illuminating the white fins and frame of the fan. And the illumination is pretty good. And what you can actually do is there is a little kind of controller on the each fan, not like a controller, but like a little button that allows you to change colors. You
could cycle through the colors.
So you can cycle through the colors. And the reason I actually kind of like these is because we see so many RGB fan kits from the big players that are incredibly expensive, right? And for a lot of people, if you're not doing like RGB madness, you just want red. Or you just want green. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Buying a big kit like that is kind of overkill for a lot of people. And it just, when it comes to affordability, it's just not, you know, it's just not always there. Yeah. So each one of these fans are $16.99, which isn't bad at all.
It's very, very reasonable.
Yeah. And they have the little controller so you can set them to whatever you want, or you can set one to a different color, one to another color. And I think they work really well. They have the rubber on the on each corner, so you don't have the vibration and everything like that. I like these. I like these for that fact. They're not trying to be, you know, these fans with the controller and the software. It's just fans that you can switch the colors with a little thing on the fan. And once you set it, you're done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I like the price. I definitely like the price.
By the specs, they're not bad either if they match. Ryan doesn't really have the the tools to test these properly. But I mean, if they do 1500 RPM, if they're doing, you know, 2.95 millimeters of static pressure, that's pretty decent at that fan speed. The sound level isn't too bad either at 33 decibels. So
yeah.
And about 65 CFM, I mean, that's pretty decent too. So, I mean, they're not like exceptional for performance, but they're for the price. I mean, that's great.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, you don't get any of those cool effects really that you would typically get. You do get cycling fade. If cycling and fading, you can do with these. You know.
But you'll end up dealing with all that them going out of sync and stuff as well.
Yes, correct. So that's something you'll have to deal with. And obviously no software to really can control these. But again, if you would rather spend that extra $50 to get better memory, get that higher up graphics card, I think you'd
probably for a low level build, this is ideal. Or if you're somebody that's doing like a big water cooled build with like you want to go with let's say you got 480 millimeter, a couple of 480 millimeter radiators, so you're looking at buying 16 fans. Like fans add up at that.
You know? And if you are doing a mod or build that's one color, right, you have a themed color. What's the point of buying, you know, those expensive fans that yes, you can set them to that color in the software, but this one you just set it and it saves you a ton of money.
So
very cool. Definitely check out that review. And then I took a look at the Patriot Viper LED or Viper LED DDR4000 16 gigabyte memory kit. So this is Patriot's first go at a LED type DDR4 memory. So we've seen LED memory, RGB memory from a lot of players out there. And Patriot, this is their first go with a light bar at the top of the memory. And this is a DDR4 3000 kit, so a 16 gig kit, so 2 8-gigabyte modules. They have official timings of 15, 17, 17, 35 at 1.35 volts. And they're offered in red and white versions. So you have either red LED or white LED versions. First, these look really good as far as the design. I think they're one of the best looking heat spreader design that I've seen from Patriot, who's not always well known for that. And then you have the black PCB that does match the heat spreader there. And then you have the light bar on top, which diffuses the LEDs under it. The thing that I was a little disappointed about was that the diffusion of the LEDs is not that great. So there's actually dead spots if you go to.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. So that those are dead spots in the diffusion. So it looks like they need at least like three more LEDs in there to properly diffuse, you know, the way that should be. It's very apparent if you're looking from the side, not as apparent if you're looking from the top, but it's still there and you still can see it. And
it almost looks like an effect. It's that strong.
Yeah. So it's, again, pretty disappointing in that regard. The only thing is that there are no effects. There's no software to change the LEDs. They're just red and they're always on.
They're just red.
Yeah. Just red, always on. So there's red and white versions. So you can either pick with red LEDs or white LEDs.
Okay.
And again, it's always on, which might not seem like a big deal to a lot of people, but if you are in a view of your system in a bedroom, you have your system in a dorm room, and you want the lights off,
You mean like places off. Where a lot of gaming PCs are placed?
Just places where, you know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Dorms and bedrooms are where you're going to find a lot of gaming PCs.
Yeah, and just the fact that, like, some people can't, like, they have to be in absolute darkness to sleep. And with everything else, you know, your RGBs on your motherboard, like I was showing this next to the NZXT X52 AIO, you know, you can turn that lighting off, but these you cannot turn off. So that's the downside. As far as performance, they perform pretty well compared to other DDR4 kits out there. I was able to overclock them decently as well. up to, I believe, from 3,333 megahertz from 3,000, which is pretty good.
With just a small voltage increase.
Yeah, small voltage increase, exact same timings, which is good. I'm sure I could have got higher. Yeah, those are
pretty decent timings, too.
Yeah. I'm sure I could have got higher as well with that. But it's a good overall kit. It's just the lighting was not...
perfect.
It was just subpar. Yeah, it's subpar in my... it's just subpar.
Well, I mean, there's a certain level that things are at right now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, and... I mean, fortunately for the consumer, unfortunately for new product development. So this would have been, this probably would have looked fine a year ago.
Yeah.
Two years ago.
I mean, Patriot is always one that, not that they come in late, but they, you know, they don't come out with things as quickly as other companies. And to put it in perspective, this kit's $194.99. Where the Giel Super Loose RGB kit is only same 16 gig kit at 3,000 megahertz is only $30 more, and the G-Skill Trident ZRGB kit, again, same thing, 16 gigabytes, 3,000 megahertz, only $40 more. So there you're getting color option effects plus software on both. So
yeah, you're hardly paying for it.
Yeah, and both of those have proper diffusion. So, something to think about. But it's good to see Patriots get into this. I mean, you kind of have to if you're making memory these days. It just, you know, you have to have kits like this. And I think that after this, we should see an RGB version. And hopefully they fix that that LED issue. And I went and I checked out other reviews, and everybody had the same issue. So, it wasn't just my kit or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So definitely, like I said, I want to see their next iteration of this, and hopefully it's better, because their heat spreader design got infinitely better on this version. And performance was much better than other Patriot kits too. So we're seeing some improvement, but hopefully on the next version, we'll see more.
I would say that this kit looks better than most RGB memory kits until you turn it on, right?
Yeah, I agree.
A lot of the other brands they're just forgetting about the rest of the design. They're forgetting about the heat spreader design, it seems. We've seen green PCB brought back,
for instance. Yeah.
Like, come on, guys, you're dropping the ball. These are $200 memory kits.
Yeah,
like deliver a product. And so I think that they've done really, really well here with this Viper kit. But the LED is probably the biggest letdown.
Yep, I agree. So hopefully they go back to the drawing board. And if we have a next iteration, hopefully one, that it is RGB, and two, that we have software.
Yeah.
Or at least it's compatible with motherboard RGB software. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't necessarily need your own. You just got to be compatible.
Yeah, so hopefully we see that. Cool. So it was the beginning of the month, and that means that we have 20 of the worst PC setups article.
Yeah.
So you get to feel better about your PC setup and check out some really, really bad setups have. And the one that we have our featured image is this guy has his PC in a box because he doesn't have a case, and he has a really horrible monitor.
Yeah.
But these are really fun to look through and see how
They're bad this month.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
Some months it's not, it's just kind of like, oh, you just probably don't have enough money. This month, man, like, they're going above and beyond with these setups.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not even like the computer per se. Like, this guy on the first page, like the third one from the bottom, he has like one of those outdoor chairs. And then he has it sitting on like books and pieces of wood to like make it even, it looks like.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, like, I like to see the whole picture in a lot of these because, you know, you focus on the PC so much, but there's so much else going on in these photos that you're like, wow.
I think the very first one, the very first one kind of takes the cake for me. What is going on there? They're overutilizing electrical tape, that's for sure. less electrical tape in your life. Not only that, but it looks like the PC is just... it's out of the, it has no case and it's just laying on the ground.
Yeah.
In the corner, like, what?
Yep.
All right.
You get too excited, you just put it together and don't have a case, and you just, you know, kind of just leave it that way.
Yeah.
And in that picture, it looks like the arm of his chair broke off or something.
Yeah.
And he is part of a box taped to it.
It's a box to it.
Yeah, it looks like there's... And then there's a bunch of Coke cans, a Brita that doesn't look like there's any water in it. There's a Simply Orange container on the ground. Container. Looks like there's a bag of some type of chips by the bed.
Yeah, they're doing it. And like he's got like lighting, it looks like, maybe for casting.
Yeah, possibly.
Like there's like an RGB light on the wall, and then he's got a mic and it, I don't see the
RGB light on the wall is held up there by electrical tape.
Yeah. There's levels to this, and this guy is on the bottom level.
Yes. He does have some pretty awesome what's it called?
Headphones?
Not headphones. What's it called? Slippers over there.
Oh, corner. Yeah. Well, it looks like he has decent headphones and a decent keyboard at least.
Yeah. And the monitor doesn't look horrible either, at least the one on the left.
Just hack and slash the rest of his setup.
Yeah, so definitely check this article out. There's a lot of funny stuff
in it. I both feel bad and I thank all of these people.
Yes, so you shouldn't feel too bad about your PC setup looking at these ones.
And if you look at yours and you see a similar setup, why don't you send us a picture?
Yeah.
We will probably feature you.
Yeah, we feature 20 a month. So if you want to send us one, go ahead, either... You can send it, just send it to our social media, either Twitter, Facebook, all that. We will definitely check it out. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And of course, that is where we feature a build or mod that's been done in the community. And this week, we have one that uses colors. The way they're using this, we don't typically see. So this one's called Grow in the Wood. Or grow in the woods or wood. I'm not really sure because the translation's been gone, because this is from High Resolution Computer Shop, which is out of Taiwan, I believe. Or Thailand. Taiwan or Thailand? I forget. I'm not sure. I think it might actually be Thailand where they're from. They do great builds all of the time. And this one is done in the old school, I call it old school, but it's not that old school, the Corsair 780T, which was actually, I used that case as my main case for a long time. Great case. And the build is sort of like, it's green and white, but it kind of like...
Luigi, man.
Yeah, it's very...
It's a white interior, basically the whole backdrop of it. So the behind the motherboard tray is white acrylic. Everything else is painted white. The power supply shroud is white. Fans are white in the top. And then they accent it with green.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to see, but the two things. The entire front has been made into a glass panel, which is very cool, especially if you're looking at it from the front.
Yeah.
And they did the same thing. We talked about this. I don't know if it was the last podcast or the one before, but they have that right after the motherboard, it's an entire reservoir that's actually green.
Yeah.
So that's all liquid right there.
Yeah, the sandwich acrylic.
Yeah. So that's really cool, too. Those are my two favorite things about this build. I don't know what yours are, but those are two things
I'm
not really...
I'm struggling with the photos. They didn't do the greatest job with the photos.
It's weird about a lot of these builds that we featured. They don't like, they try to do all these artsy angles, but there's never really like one really good angle that shows everything off, which is odd.
They're not properly photographing their rigs for us to talk about them on the podcast. That's the problem.
Yes, they're doing the artsy photos for Instagram and all that.
I like the cleanliness. I really think this is, honestly, when I call it the Luigi build, it really is like a Luigi build. They might as well get like some Mario insignia and throw them on it, because it's perfect for that.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say that the biggest difference between this acrylic reservoir, the sandwich thing, and a lot of others is that in the others, they have a lot more channeling. This one is just basically a big, probably 6-inch by 10-inch block that's just full of just like a pool almost, you know, of coolant. So it's an interesting look. It's kind of, I feel like they could have done more with it, at least like a channel to split it up in the middle.
Yeah, that would have made it a little different,
more interesting.
One thing that I did like too is that I'm not sure if this case came with a power supply cover, but they made one out of mesh, which just looks different, and they've actually mounted the pump on this mesh, and I think it looks pretty cool. I just really haven't seen like this mesh type of
power supply cover. Kind of something that's been gone away from.
Yeah, for sure. Mesh,
but maybe it's coming back. The build does sort of remind me of the kind of maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago, kind of the themes and the look that we got back then.
Yeah, I kind of miss, I miss that too.
Yeah, I think the modding is kind of, in the name of progression, it's moved away from this look and feel a bit. But the thing is this look and feel is actually really good. So maybe we'll see a few more builds back into this style.
Yeah, hopefully we see that. So great job, once again, from High Resolution Computer Shop. They always do great builds. We have their Facebook link, so you can check it out, and they always have tons of stuff going on. So very, very cool.
Nice.
To do that. And that brings us into news this week, and one of the big stories this week is that Samsung has confirmed that they're working on a mining chip. So we broke the story last week about Samsung working on a cryptocurrency mining ASIC. They had this big order from an unnamed client in China to build an ASIC for cryptocurrency mining, and it was just a story. It wasn't actually confirmed. Samsung came out and confirmed it.
They kind of had to, right?
Yeah, they kind of had to. And their latest earnings report mentioned a higher than expected revenue in the semiconductor business due to Samsung's acquisition of new China clients. So that kind of...
Yeah, it's a giveaway.
Yeah, that's kind of the giveaway right there. So it looks like Samsung is becoming a player in this. TSMC also did some ASIC mining developments.
Those are the parts we're finding in the market right now, right?
Yes. Yeah. So the miners from Bitmain and Canaan Creative, those ones are developed by TSMC. These new ones, again, we don't know if this is from a company who is creating a product based around this ASIC, or they're a specifically mining company getting custom products made for a mining farm or whatever. We don't know.
Yeah.
But Samsung, at least according to their latest earnings reports, higher than expected revenue because of this. So it's not like they're like, oh, let's make 100. I mean, there's a lot of these being made.
A significant amount that they would even announce it at their earnings meeting.
Yeah, and I would assume if you're TSMC or if you're Samsung, and if somebody wants you to create an ASIC, they're going to have to order quite a bunch.
It could still go either way. It could either, I mean, it could be retail or not, you know?
Yeah. So we don't know or what it's going to be.
Resale, I suppose, would be the correct word.
We don't know what it's going to be, but I'm sure in the coming weeks and months, we will definitely find out for you. Talking about cryptocurrency, this brings us to our next story, which is Gigabyte has released the B250 FinTech motherboard. We showed you this at CES. We have a video up on our YouTube about this board. And this is basically a B250 mining board with 12 PCI Express slots. So you can kind of build the ultimate mining rig with this. As much as we hate miners and all of that, it's just smart for Gigabyte to get into this business because there's a lot of people, you know, doing this. For what it's used for, it works incredibly well. It has a splitter that allows you to connect three different power supplies. It has the a little power switch that goes on the board itself that allows you to easily turn on the system and restart. Just plugs, kind of, instead of actually having the power and reset on the board, it's just like a little thing that connects to the header there. So because a lot of people aren't going to be using this in a traditional case. So yeah, and it has the little the jumper connectors too, so you know you can turn on those three different power supplies.
Right, and they turn on automatically instead of jump them by themselves. Essentially. Yeah.
So this makes sense.
I mean, I don't think that it's a we have to hate the miners thing either. It's more like could they buy something else than our graphics cards?
Well, maybe like I said, maybe that Samsung ASIC.
That part could help alleviate it.
Yeah, and you know, Asus does have a specific mining card out there right now.
I just have the feeling that one of NVIDIA or AMD has got to be working on something. I mean, they've done mining specific cards in the past, but they got to be doing something that's like working on something for that. I mean, especially with how hard NVIDIA is pushing the gamers first thing.
Yeah. So we'll have to see. I would like to see something like that to take the, because I mean, you're still in a stranglehold right now when it comes to buying a any decent GPU. You can kind of find deals out there where they're still being offered at normal retail price, but it's few and far between. So
I have heard that you can buy direct from NVIDIA for retail price. I forget, you have to provide some sort of proof, and I'm not sure that that's more than just a rumor, but I had heard that.
Gotcha. And then there was people talking about Best Buy's taking pre-orders at retail whenever they get their stock back in,
and then you get first dibs or something.
So talking about, I guess this has kind of to do with mining, and it's kind of cool to see. I don't know how practical it is, but FSP announced their Hydro PTM 400 watt liquid cooled power supply. And it's co-designed by Bits Power. So basically, the last time we saw a water cooled power supply, it was a prototype from DeepCool, correct? Were you there that year?
That was the last time we saw that.
That was what, 2 or 3 years ago? Probably.
It was 2 CESs ago.
Okay.
Put it that way. Not last year, but the year before.
And that one was an AIO, so basically it hooked up.
No.
Oh, it wasn't?
It was just a block.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it was exactly what this is. It's a block built into the power supply, and it was very prototype, completely non-functional.
Yeah. This one appears to, you know, this the 1200 watt version of this was shown at Computex, and it's good to see that FSP, who is known for power supply building, went out and went to a company that's known for building water cooling products in Bits Power and created this together.
Yeah.
Now there are only going to be 500 units of this made.
It's probably the correct number, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't see a big market for this. I think it's something cool, especially if you're doing a mod or build, then you can kind of incorporate the power supply now when it comes to the water cooling.
That's the extent to which I see it being useful.
Yeah, because the technology that we have these days with power supplies and cooling, you don't necessarily need, you know, you're not really...
I mean, okay, so if you're really pumping 1400 watts... Your fan is going to be jamming along, right?
True.
That is a good amount of heat, and if it's continuous for a long period of time, that could be a problem. But as far as needing liquid cooling for it, you're totally right. It's questionable.
Yeah, it is 80 plus platinum.
Yeah.
100% Japanese made capacitors, fully modular. And it is $700.
And that's why they're not going to sell any.
I think most 1400 watt power supplies sell between four and five, maybe.
Yeah, but there's a lot of options in that, actually.
Yeah.
It's almost like a 1400 watts until mining came along. It was basically outdated.
Yeah.
You don't really need this much power for anything in a regular PC.
Yeah, I mean, even to 1080 Ti's, you know, like overclocked editions don't even pull.
Not even close.
Yeah, so.
They're too power efficient now. So is the rest of your system. It's just, we've I mean, 1,000 watts right now, I think, is probably what you would need for a maxed out system, especially since like SLI is really being discouraged. It's hardly a thing anymore.
Yeah, I mean, if you have, if you have new cards, you can't really
do that. And even back in the day, I ran quad 580s off of a 1350.
Yeah.
So, and that was not $700. It was maybe $200 to $300.
Yeah.
And I didn't need liquid cooling. I never had it shut down. It's still working right now.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, so I mean, it's cool. I gotta take back a little. I'm bashing it quite a bit here. I think it's really cool. I think if it were more moderately priced, I think that you would sell a lot of them to water coolers. At that price point, I don't know why you would buy it.
Yeah, because you're not making use of the 1400 watts if you're doing this in a modded build, right? You're mining, you're not doing liquid cooling because it's not efficient as far as electricity goes, right?
Yeah. That's just more. You're running a pump to cool it too.
Yeah, so you're just not doing that, and it's cost efficient because if you are running water cooling, of course you want those GPUs water cooled, and then you gotta, you know,
you gotta buy blocks. Put blocks on your cards.
Yeah, buy blocks for 12 cards. Nobody's
16. Doing that. That's just not worth it.
It's not efficient.
The card will die before it earns its money back.
Yeah. So yeah, I think this is just a novelty.
It's just novelty. Yes, that's the word. That's the perfect word.
So hopefully we see this in some builds. I would like to see this kind of run through some builds.
Yeah, I think they'll send a few units out for sure to get modded up.
Yes.
So hopefully. I'm really curious how they exactly decided to implement the block. Like, what is it contacting exactly?
Yeah, because there's no.
If you go to their page and you scroll through, they have a lot of photos, and there's some with it out of the casing, but it's just a large flat block on the contact surface. There's a little bits power section on the page, and I just don't. I pictured it having little cutouts where it would like the cap would slide in maybe.
Yeah, because that's what you're cooling the caps and some of the circuitry in there, which is very intricate, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how.
I'm thinking maybe this just touches the back of like the PCB.
Where
everything is running through.
And that's one way to cool it, honestly.
Yeah.
So the fact
that it still has a fan too just makes me think that it's not actually doing much cooling though.
Yeah, but I think the fan there is because it's RGB too.
Does provide the lighting.
Yeah, so we'll see. Cool.
Definitely.
They're making 500, so hopefully we'll see some out there.
Yeah.
Yes.
To keep our eyes looking.
Yes. So being that it's the beginning of the year, we have all of these year-end type of things. And according to a report by this company, that's kind of their job, it's called Backblaze. They test hard drives throughout the year and kind of give feedback on what's good and what's not, mainly for enterprise clients and things like that. But according to their report, the most reliable, you know, this is Platter hard drives of 2017 were from HGST. And if you've never heard of HGST, because they do make consumer drives, but it's not really their main business. They're a company it's owned by Western Digital, but it was started by Hitachi and Western Digital together. And they mostly make enterprise drives. You don't see a whole lot. But it's just, if you're thinking...
It explains their liability.
Yeah, if you're thinking about getting a normal drive, or if you're a system administrator looking to get drives for backup or something, this is something you might want to consider. That the 8 terabyte HGST model had zero failures over the past year.
The past year or the past quarter?
Past year.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. 45 drives. That's a fairly small sample group.
But. Yeah, that is a small sample group for sure. But it just gives you an idea, and I think that, you know, tests like this are good because, you know, we review SSDs and hard drives, and we can tell you about speed and everything like that, but we can't tell you about reliability over years' time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important to people because people are buying hard drives or buying SSDs for, you know, I plan to have the SSDs that are in the system here for a while. And it'd be good to know how well they perform. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How long reliable.
So, yeah. In the long run. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's good to see ones that might be a popular drive, but their failure rate's super high. I mean, if I see that, I'm not going to buy that drive.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
So I actually think that looking at their sample sets, one of the Seagate 8 terabyte drives, they've got almost 10,000 of them, and it's less than 1% failure rate.
Yeah.
2017. Like, that's actually pretty good to me. HGST has one that's, it's got 15,000. It's a 4 terabyte. It's only 0.6%.
Yeah. Yeah,
but so. We're not enterprise, and actually, I don't even know why I'm looking at this like I care. I don't want anything that spins in my I want my fans in my pump to spin, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah. Most people are kind of beyond this, but it's cool to see, and it's cool to you know, again, if you are doing, you know, most I would say this is mainly for backup. People who are doing enterprise backup and things like that. So cool. Very cool to see. And congrats to HGST for kind of being the best one there. Talking about storage, Patriot is showing off, or just showed off, a new Viper M.2 SSD. And this one comes with Phison's new E12 controller. So the E12 is what everybody has been excited about. We've seen a couple of the big players come out with drives that feature this controller. This one supports 8 NAND channels, and is, of course, PCI Express 3.0 X4. And you're like, what's, you know, Patriot has had a NVMe drive out for over a year now, but this is the new one, the new controller that's going to give you even more speed. So typically you would see like 3000 read, 1500 write. Now with this new controller, you're going to see 3200 megabytes a second read and 3000 megabytes a second write. So much better performance on the writes with this. And I do not believe, don't quote me on this, but I don't believe this one has the heat issues, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Maybe
not. Newer controller.
Yeah.
There'll be something they're looking to fix.
But it looks like Patriot will be have another offering. There'll be a ton of players out there with the Phison E12. So another one out there. It's going to be Patriot. So. But yeah, I think they're doing their whole Viper line is like they're really differentiating that to be their high-end line, whether it's gaming, whether it's, hard drives, things like that. It's going to be their high-end line. So it's kind of nice to actually see that from mm-hmm. Patriot because they've kind of been all over the place when it comes to product series and all that. So,
mm-hmm.
Yes. So talking about going from that to DDR4. G-Skill released the world's fastest DDR4 4700 megahertz kit, and it's their Trident Z RGB kit, which is by far my favorite RGB kit available, and DDR4 4700, which is super fast.
Yeah.
It's the first RGB kit to have this high level of frequency and speed. In it's 1939 at 1.45 volts, which makes sense. You're not going to see the CL16 or anything like that,
yeah,
because of the such, you know, the super high speed. But that's fast. That's really, really fast. Yeah,
especially like, when that's not like your overclock speed.
Yeah, that's the
that's just your base speed.
Yeah,
that's
your base.
Although there's probably not too much headroom on this kit.
I can't imagine there is. And you have to make sure your motherboard will support that speed, or at least have the latest BIOS. Most boards should support that speed unless it's like a board that doesn't get their BIOS updated often. But yeah, they tested it on MSI's Z370i Gaming Pro Carbon AC and worked just fine with a 8700K. So nice. Very cool. I want that kit.
Yeah, it's a fast kit.
Yeah, super, super fast. And coming to Windows 10 stuff, there was actually some interesting Microsoft news because most of it is pretty boring. The consumer roadmap has kind of been revealed. So Windows will be launching Windows 10 Redstone 4, which will be a huge upgrade to Windows 10. This is the big one. It's coming out in April, I believe. And what's come out is the different SKUs for partners. So if I'm Acer and I'm offering a product, these are the SKUs that I can use for, you know, to load Windows on that machine. Mm-hmm. So there's entry, which is 20. These prices are for the OEM, right? So this is what Acer or Lenovo or whoever would pay for, right?
Yeah.
So we have entry.
Well, general pricing.
Yeah, so but this might give you an idea of what retail pricing would be on this.
Yeah.
Possibly. So entry is $25. Then there's value at $45. There's core at $65. And then there's core plus at $86.66 and advanced at $101. Now, that's five SKUs. We do not know if there's a different, like, you know, what's included, what's not included.
Yeah, what are the feature sets?
Yeah, we don't know what the feature sets are. If there's going to be, if this is, you know, this is the naming that we're getting for what they're telling the OEM channel, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't know if this is going to be like, you know, there was Windows 10 Home, Windows 10 Home Plus, Windows 10 All, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't know what that's going to be. But what they're actually doing is they're tying these SKUs to specific hardware. So for entry level, you know, you would have an Intel Atom, Celeron, or Pentium. Under 4 gigabytes or under of memory, 32 gigabytes or under an SSD, and a 14.1 to 11.1 or 14.1 screen size in a notebook, 11.6 screen size in a 2-in-1, and a 17-inch screen size in an AIO. And the highest one, the $101 advanced, it would be like any Core i9 configuration, any Core i7, 6-core, any AMD Threadripper. So basically, they're tying this price to the specific hardware that's inside. And that might be what they do on the retail channel. So that makes you think that if I'm building a new Threadripper system and I'm building a new Threadripper X299 system, Windows just will just go by this pricing. Windows is going to cost me $101. But if I'm building a Core i5, right? Mm-hmm. Mid-grade system, you know, it looks like that would be Core Plus. I'm only going to pay $86 for Windows. And what's the differences? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Or so possibly even $65.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see how this kind of rolls out to the retail channel and how this all works. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Whether or not it's the total, like the market-wide specifications, or if it's just the guidelines for OEMs.
Yeah. Yeah. But it would be very... Microsoft will have a lot of kickback if I'm building a $3,000 machine and I have to pay more for Windows than somebody who's building a $700 machine. And the thing would be, and the feature set's the same.
Yeah, the features can't be the same.
Yeah.
You can't just charge more based on what I'm going to use it for. Yeah.
So we'll see how that kind of rolls out. But in this instance, they are doing that to the OEM.
Sort of.
But we don't know the feature set, so I guess I can't say that.
Yeah.
And then, also, this past week, it was announced that Microsoft Office 2019, which will be coming out in 2019, obviously, or probably close to the end of 2018, it's going to run on Windows 10 and Windows 10 only. Which I think is, from Microsoft's standpoint, it's a smart move. It gets people who are still on 7 who are going to upgrade their Office. There are people who always upgrade Office, which is a good amount of users who are still on 7, possibly 8.1. I don't know why. to get them to get them to upgrade to 10. And
yeah, I don't know who this actually would. I guess there's probably somebody, but I don't know who this would actually affect specifically. Because your major companies are not going to be pushed by this. They'll just run the old version of Office. They don't care.
Yeah, they don't care. The only issue when it comes to business wise is security issues that have to do with Office, right? If there's a gaping vulnerability, if you have to update, then you're kind of forced.
I think that most places will just have their security team like patch that or fix it in house. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. This will be a Windows. What do they call that? If you do something from the Windows Store, whatever that's called. Because it's not a normal exe file. It's a.
Oh, is it run from the store?
It happened. There was a big issue with this with a lot of games too, where they wouldn't actually provide you the exe or whatever because with this Windows is not providing the. They're not going to provide an MSI installer or an EXE installer. It will be whatever that is, the Windows Live something. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, so that's a big difference. And the support lifecycle has been cut from 10 years to 5 years of mainstream support.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I think
Less bang for your buck.
Yeah, I think that they are definitely wanting people to get onto Windows 10. With this is kind of another thing that they're doing to do that, which again makes sense for Microsoft.
It makes total sense for Microsoft, yeah.
Yes. And to close out our news this week, we have a PUBG story, which we haven't talked about all that much lately, but apparently the cheating in the game has gotten out of control, and that's kind of expected with a game with so many people playing it. Sad to say, but there's just a lot of cheaters out there, right?
A ton of them for this one. This is PUBG. Were they not the ones that were suing like a kid?
I believe so. Or I think that was Fortnite. I think that was Epic Games.
Yeah, you're right. That was Epic. Yeah.
They were suing the people who created the cheat.
Okay.
Yes. Last month, which would have been January, there were over 1,444,000 cheaters have been banned in PUBG. A million. And it says that
in a month.
Yeah, just in January, a million people have been banned from the game.
Well, and specifically, a million accounts had been banned. Yeah. So, not a million people, necessarily.
Yeah, a million accounts have been banned. And again, it's really bad because cheating can ruin a game. If you have a popular game and then you, as a normal player, as a casual player like you and I are, if we want to just get some gaming in, have fun, and every server we go to, there's cheaters on it, you're insta-killed, you know, or you're shot from way across the map.
This and PUBG, I mean, that's that could be like devastating.
Yeah, so
you could be running for like 15 minutes and then somebody just cheats on you. Oh no.
Yeah. And that just makes the gameplay bad. It gives the game a bad rap. So obviously, PUBG, they're working on better means to do this, but that's just astonishing that number of people were just banned in January alone.
Yeah, I think you're talking about a lot of multiple accounts.
Of course, course. But still, it's, that's just crazy to me.
Significant.
Yes. So, talking about what we have coming next week, we have a full week of reviews, getting back to our cycle of doing at least 3 or more reviews a week. We did 3 this past week, and we will have at least 4, hopefully all of these. I'm almost done with all of them. So, starting off, I'm taking a look at a really cool product, which has been literally a lifesaver for me. It's the Tile Sports. If you've heard of Tile, they're like little Bluetooth trackers that allow you to track whatever you attach it to. And you can ring whatever it is. So like I have it attached to my keys and I just like, when I get home, I throw my keys down. I can't find them. I go on my phone and I hit ring and it like rings this, and helps you find it. There's a lot of other cool features, but we'll talk about that next week. And then I'll be taking a look at the Tesoro Gram Graham SE Spectrum Gaming Keyboard. The reviews are actually online, but I figured we're doing this Monday. We'll talk about it next week. But this is their optical switch keyboard that uses their Graham layouts. And I have the white version that has RGB backlighting. Looks pretty cool. Yeah. So definitely check that out. But it is on the site now. If you're listening to this podcast, you can check that out already. And then we'll be taking a look at some RGB fans from Inwin. So these are their Aurora. And this is kind of their first go at RGB fans. And one thing I like about this kit is you get three fans plus two RGB strips. So it's kind of the full package. Huh. You know, most RGB strips come in twos. You know, you got your fans, you got RGB strips all in one, all controlled by the same controller and software. So everything syncs together. That's exactly what you want. And all comes together. So pretty cool. So we'll talk about those, you know, this upcoming week. And we have the Patriot Viper Gaming LED mouse pad. So we already took a look at one RGB mouse pad. This is one's from Patriot. And one thing that this does have that you specifically talked about is that little bump at the top of the Corsair one. That is not in this one. There's no bump, so it doesn't interfere with your cabling, which is cool. But this one does not have software. You use, like, on the USB cable, there's a little controller that allows you to cycle through colors and effects. Mm. But I do have to say, Ryan's reviewing this, and he sent me photos. It does look badass. It looks like the diffusion and the colors are great for this.
Nice.
So, but no software. So you can't fully, you know, there's different modes and different things. I think it looks really good. Of that. And we talked about it last week. I did not get to it, the writing part of this, but just the Habit HVTCP T68. This is a powered USB-C hub that gives you extra USB ports, card reader, and HDMI all through one USB Type-C connection. If you have an Ultrabook or a MacBook, this is a lifesaver, and you're just going to need it. So we'll have that for you as well. So yeah, a lot of stuff coming. Yeah, pretty pumped about all this stuff. Of course, you know, we get to the end of the podcast and we talk if we did any tech the past week. Did you do anything?
Did I do any tech?
Did you do any tech? Did you do any nerd stuff? Did you see any movies? Did you
all that kind of stuff? Well, I you know, we said I traveled to South Carolina, so I was kinda on the move. I just did a lot of shot a lot of photos.
Nice.
So not really anything specifically new to tech, but I played with tech. Does that count?
Yes, of course. Okay. Of course. Photography is definitely, I would say it's more mainstream, but it is still a kind of nerdy tech thing for sure. What did I do? Did I do anything? Well, I have a new mic. I don't know if you guys can tell. Okay. I went out and I'm sure you guys have heard issues in some of podcasts as well as some of the YouTube videos that the audio was kind of crackling. And I had an old mic. I decided to upgrade. So I have a new studio mic with a audio interface and all this kind of stuff. So hopefully we sound better here, not only to help out the podcast, but I'll be using this mic for all of the YouTube videos, which we have some coming out this week as well. So yeah.
Nice.
Definitely excited for all the reviews as we get. And I like that we're going to get back on this schedule of a lot of reviews. We were, you know, with CES and everything, we kind of took 2 weeks off from reviews and did all of our CES content. So really excited to get back to full on reviews and a lot of cool stuff coming out. A lot of cool stuff that we saw at CES that we'll be getting into reviews. So excited about all of that. So guys, we will end things there. As I always say, we have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about. So we're talking about reviews or any of the news articles. You can click through and get even more information. And if you're looking for us on your favorite podcasting software, it's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, catch you guys later.